Blog Talk Radio.
I'll do whatever I can, wherever I am, whenever you want me to. Yeah, you have.
Well, welcome to another great episode of Relationship Marketing 101 here on Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Gina Gaudio-Graves, the JV Queen, Dean and Founder of the IM University, calling in live from Bonita Springs, Florida, as I do every Tuesday at noon Eastern. Today, I have such a great person here to talk to you. Some people know him as the bad boy of personal development. He is none other than Bob Yeager, and what a story he has for you. Bob and I met recently at JV Alert Live, and quite frankly, I had not heard about Bob before, and it was quite a weekend, Bob. That was just a major shock to hear your story and to hear how I had impacted your life. I don't think I could do it justice, so why don't I just let you tell our listeners a little bit about who you are and what you've been up to?
Sure. Well, first off, I want to tell you, I didn't know you were going to be at the JV Alert, and I didn't realize you were there until I was sitting right behind you on the expert panel. You were directly in front of me, and when you announced yourself, I was like, oh, my God, Gina's right in front of me. That's so cool. But, almost 4 years ago, I came on the Internet for the first time just kind of looking for a way to do things. I used to be a peak performance coach before that, and I was sick, you know, recovering from cancer, and my wife had a baby on the way, and she says, you know, why don't you use all that stuff you're doing on the Internet to try to do something, you know, because we were on welfare, we didn't have any money, and so I went on the Internet, and you were one of the first people I found on the Internet, and I went to one of your teleseminars, and I decided that's probably the best way for me to get started was to get on the Internet and start coaching live, and through that, you know, started a radio show, a couple coaching programs, and a big internet business through a community of spiritual entrepreneurs online, and it just keeps exploding. It keeps getting bigger and bigger every year.
Well, I know by the end of JV Alert, you and I both had tears in our eyes as you were trying to explain the impact that I had had on you in your career, and it still gives me goosebumps just thinking about it. So today you are cancer-free, correct?
Yeah, have been for close to 4.5 years now. So after 8.5, almost 9 years of going through it, yeah, it's been a road. It's been a lot of lessons learned, I'll tell you that.
And you sure do live your life differently after coming that close to being literally dead. It really changes everything, doesn't it?
It does. You know, for a long time, I'd spent a lot of time, obviously, you know, coaching and doing a lot of different things, playing music and traveling around the world and all these things. But it managed to slow me down to the point where I actually sat down and thought about what do I want to do or what should I be doing. And I thought I didn't have much time to do it. And so I started reevaluating a lot of things in my life and focused on purpose, life purpose, more than how much money can I make by doing a bunch of different things. And through, you know, I always said cancer was the one thing that actually showed me what I'm supposed to do. And it did. It did. But, JV Alert, I had a difficult time telling people about the impact you had on our lives, my family's life, because, you know, it's not easy to talk about those things. But I managed to get it out through the tears and the sniffling and the runny nose and everything, I think.
Yes, you did a great job of it. And I have my co-host Jennifer Carter on the air with us today, too, from Empowering Women in Business. Jennifer, are you with us?
Gina, I sure am. And I am so excited to be on this as well because Bob, Gina has said some amazing things about you since I just heard about you. And I've looked up all kinds of things. So we are lucky and blessed and whatever to have you with us today. So thank you. I'm excited to hear about today's show.
Well, thanks, Jennifer. I wish everybody could see me blushing right now.
Send you a webcam next time.
Yeah, definitely.
There you go. That's a good idea. So, Bob, what would you say is, like, the one big secret to your success? You've been there. You've been where most of our listeners are, struggling to try and figure out how to do this stuff, and you've succeeded. What made that happen for you?
Well, there's a couple things. To be honest, there's a couple things, but I'd say if I could pinpoint it down to one thing, it has to do with relationships. But it's not the relationships everybody's thinking about. It's a relationship with yourself. Being sure of yourself, having confidence, feeling adequate in what you do, and loving yourself for what you do. You know, when we do our work, whether it be coaching or our shows or whatever it may be, if we don't love who we are for what we do and have the intention to create value for other people, I don't think you could be successful. So that relationship with yourself is where it all starts.
And, you know, the show is Relationship Marketing 101, and that's something we've not talked about on the air before, but it is so important. Until you can perceive yourself as the expert that you are, no one else will perceive you as an expert either. So you might as well just hang it up and go back home, because it's not going to happen. So how did you do that? How did you find that self-confidence and that value within yourself to be able to share it with others?
Well, you know, I've always seen myself as being an outgoing person, somebody that would do things outside the norm. Like if I always relate it to my dad always says, "Hey, Bob, when are you going to get a job?" you know, it's the perception of who you are and how you feel your information or who you are, the connections you can make, really will decide what level of commitment you're willing to make to yourself and to other people. And I say it very literally, the connection that you make with yourself, the value you create for yourself, will transmit and transfer to the value you create for other people. So if you're not doing good by you, how can you possibly expect to do good for other people? You can't. So I started thinking about, you know, I spent most of my life in self-sacrifice mode, sacrificing myself in order to help others. And then I realized if I'm sacrificing myself, eventually I won't be here, so who's going to be here to help those other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my first step was, and I always knew this, after my sensei in the martial arts died, I didn't have a mentor in my life. And that's one of the first steps you should take. And mentor doesn't mean you have to have a physical interaction with people. You can do it through books and through CDs and a lot of other different ways. But I was looking for somebody that knew wealth mentoring, success mentoring, how to be the success that you're transmitting out there. And that's when I found Leslie Figure, who is literally the world's number one wealth or memes mentor. And I found him online just the same way I found you, only when I found him, it was in a virtual conference room and I could interact with him. And he asked me a question that sticks with me today. And he says, you know, what can I do for you? And I said, I'm just getting tired of being broke. And he said, well, let's see if we can help you get out of that mindset. And that was the beginning of the whole thing. It was a mindset, and I didn't even realize I had done that to myself.
Well, I know after I went through my transformation, as I call it, very similar thing happened with me. I was already making money. I mean, I had $9.9 million worth of medical bills, and they were fairly paid off by that point. I had probably a little over $1 million left to pay. And yet I was constantly struggling for money because I had this $40,000 a month in medicine that I needed or I would die. So I would check bank account balances, I don't know, 5, 6, 7 times a day sometimes. And it was the mentality of constantly being broke. And I would watch pennies. I mean, I would order something on a menu in a restaurant that was $4 instead of the thing that I really wanted that was $6 because it would save $2.
Right.
When I finally broke myself of the cycle and trusted that I was doing the right things to create the revenue, and I knew in my heart of hearts that it would meet all of the needs and stopped looking at the bank account balances, started ordering what I wanted to eat, not what I thought I could afford, started doing things slightly differently, but not focused on being, I don't have enough money, poor.
Right.
That's when everything changed.
That's it. You know, I took a period of, like when I got sick, I was, I just turned 19. It was the day after I turned 19, so I didn't have a lot of life experience yet. I didn't know how to do a lot of things, but I owned my own house. I had 3 businesses, and, you know, I made the mistake. I sold off my house and all my businesses and because I saw all these bills, and I didn't have medical insurance. And I figured, you know, maybe if I just had a little, you know, trailer that I pulled behind my truck, I could live in that because I'm just myself, just by on my own. And, you know, I won't have all these bills racking up. It was the biggest mistake I could ever make. And,
oh, that's for sure.
Yeah. And so about 2 years after I'd done that, living in this truck, I said, you know, how could I creatively create something for other people where they'll find that there's value that can be exchanged with me? And I started coaching little kids in meditation, martial arts, and how to keep from getting jumped in the inner city of Pittsburgh because they were being mugged left and right. And when I started doing that, I started realizing that it's, you know, I have something to contribute to other people, and I have to be willing to accept an exchange of value, accept payment for what I can teach these people. And when I started doing that, that's when life started really showing me all these little loopholes, these little facets that I could follow and get into that will allow me to create more in my life. But it's that level of being willing to accept as well as being willing to put something out there for other people that I think is a key element a lot of people have trouble with. You know.
Well, I see that with my students. I'm sure you see that too, where that exchange of value, even in terms of how they price their services as a coach or they price their products, they way undercharge because they don't perceive those things as having a value.
Right, and if you're not the first person that says this is valuable to other people or this is valuable for me to do this for other people, how are they ever going to see it or perceive it as being valuable? They won't. So you're literally hurting yourself by undercharging. Where you think you're helping a lot of other people, you're actually hurting yourself. And at the same time, if you go into like quantum physics, which I've gone to universities to study advanced quantum physics, you get to a point where you have to say, if I'm not putting out the value and willing to accept the value in return, I'm cheating those people for not allowing them to exchange that energy. So
yeah.
There's a lot, and once you realize that, trust me, the universe doesn't cut you any breaks. It'll start playing some games with you because now that you realize it, it's become real, it's become a belief within you, and if you go against that belief, you can actually hurt yourself in the long run.
You really will, and that's a tough one for other people to understand. Why does that happen? I know you've studied the quantum physics behind it, and I have as well. So why does that happen? Why is it that you've got to believe it? I mean, really deep down in your core, believe that there's that value exchange and that you really are creating value and you've got to accept that value in return.
Well, right. I mean, a lot of people are hepped up on the things like The Secret, which talks about vibration and attraction. There's a lot of other universal principles that go along with that that nobody talks about for whatever reason. But you have to think to yourself, in order to manifest a physical stream of wealth, if you see a physical stream of wealth being money, in order to manifest that, you have to create something physical to take action with. And the first physical thing is a belief. A belief is actually a physical thing. It's a dendrite within your mind. So in order to create that physical wealth, you have to create a physical thing, and that first thing is a belief. And it goes like this. Thoughts are immediately possibilities when you apply focus to them. And once you apply focus and you begin to apply energy, which is action, you create a belief. Through that belief combined with the action will begin to give you the physical results you look to manifest. So there's an exact formula to that. So it's thoughts become possibilities when you apply energy or action. It becomes matter, a tangible thing, a belief, which is a physical thing, which will allow you to see that you're actually capable of these things.
That is really cool.
That's some hardcore stuff, right?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of people see it as mystical or magical. It's really not. It's just like anybody that goes
It's very
church,
scientific in my book.
Right, and if you go to church on a regular basis, you're there to learn a methodology of living your life, a certain way you should live in order to get the results you're looking to get. And religion is an educational platform that teaches you to do these different things. Just like quantum physics is, just like Buddhism is, whatever it may be that you study, those are educational systems that help you manifest these things. But there's certain things that are right for some people and certain things that aren't right. But all these universal principles, there's a reason why they're called universal. They work with everything you're looking to do in your life. But like I said, once you understand these things and you begin to implement these things, the universe will not cut you a break. There's been plenty of times where I knew what I knew, but I went against what I know, and I ended up with the crappy results.
Oh, it's bad when you do that. Oh, I've been there, done that myself. Not a good thing.
Yeah, you get that feeling in the pit of your stomach where you're like, I know this isn't right. It goes against everything that I know is the right way of doing things, but you know what? Looks like I can make a lot of money off this, and all of a sudden you end up losing money instead of making money from it. And I think the next element of success is really is, how do you feel about money? How do you feel about that? Is it a negative thing or is it a positive thing? If you're always thinking about debt and you relate money to debt, then debt is a negative thing. If you think back to when you were a kid, did your parents say, you know, all those rich people, they're all dishonest? Is that how you feel about wealthy people? You got to start really get connected to, well, how do I feel about money and wealth? Is it a negative thing or a positive thing to me? And what can I do to make it a positive thing? These beliefs that you have within yourself about certain things, about wealth, about money, about success, relationships, love, whatever it may be, they're going to determine your path that you take, and they're also going to determine the outcome. So why get a negative outcome when you can create a positive outcome? Right.
Well, as you just said, beliefs are a very physical thing. They're a very real thing. And until you've addressed the beliefs that you have activated within you, you're leaving part of that physical being of yourself aside.
Right.
And you've got to address them before you can change them.
Right. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, if I already have the beliefs, how can I change those beliefs? Educate yourself and implement
mm-hmm.
that education. But when I say implement, it's not just, you know, taking action on the education you learn, but be willing to teach other people that education. One thing I focus on when I teach is I tell all my students, they could probably recite this verbatim, in order to become the ultimate success you look to become, you must teach others to become that success. Because while you're teaching, you have to be the success that you're teaching them to become. So the more you teach, the more you're in that moment of success, and the more it becomes a tangible, real belief to you that you are that successful. And then you start feeling like that expert you wish that everybody else would feel you to be. So, you know, beliefs are powerful. It's a very powerful thing that helps you alter your life in the direction you want it to go into.
Absolutely. I know with my students, I encourage the students that have been in my coaching programs for a longer period of time to come onto calls with the newer students. And then I give the older students the opportunity to teach the newer students intentionally. Because you will learn that material in a completely different way when you're teaching it than when you were learning it for the first time.
Right, right. I actually tell people a lot of the times, and my students do this, because, you know, a lot of students in your programs, they're all working towards the same goal or the same product or service, whatever it may be. And what happens a lot of times, they believe that each other is competition. And
I see that a lot too.
Right, and I enforce to them it's co-opetition. When you cooperate with your competition, you actually start to create pathways that will allow both of you to become successful. And my students, one of the whole things, we have a social network where they have to attend that social network and help one another to become accountable for one another's success. And they share ideas, they implement things together, and a lot of times, you know what happens, people become partners. So it's
absolutely.
Less, you know,
isn't that what joint ventures are all about? I mean, I'm the JV queen. That's what it's all about.
That's it. And, you know, when you start to create these avenues of connections, helping other people, allowing other people to help you without the intention that it's just for your best interest or it's just in their best interest, but it's for both of you to be accountable for one another. What happens a lot of times, let's say this, Gina, you make a promise to yourself to do something, maybe to eat healthy every single day for breakfast. You might do it because you made this promise to yourself, but a lot of times we tend not to follow through with commitments to ourselves. But when you make a commitment to another person for whatever reason, you hold that commitment higher than the promise to yourself because you don't want to let somebody else down.
Okay? Absolutely.
So if you help somebody else become successful, isn't there a good chance through that process that you'll become successful as a result?
Sure will. I mean, even when I went through my transformation, I could not have moved from the life I used to lead into this life filled with abundant positivity if it had not been for my husband.
Right.
He was kind of my accountability partner. When I was sobbing every day going, I miss my mom, and I couldn't pick up the phone and call my mom, it was my husband that was standing right beside me being the strength that I didn't have. Because if he hadn't been there, I would have picked up the phone and called mom months before I ever got through this transformation.
Right, right.
And you need to do that for yourself. You need to give somebody the permission to do that for you. A lot of people aren't willing to give up that permission.
That's it. And, you know, I did a program with Leslie a couple years ago when I first started the whole wealth mentoring process. And one of the assignments was to write a irrevocable letter of commitment to yourself.
Ooh, that's a toughie.
Yeah, and one of the the toughest part of that was to have a witness sign it, and it couldn't be your spouse or your best friend. It had to be somebody that you really had this issue that if you didn't do it in their eyes, you were a failure, basically. And so what I did was, my mom used to be one of the most negative people in the world when it came down to doing things outside the norm. And I asked my mom to sign this contract, and I explained it to her. And in my eyes, it was showing my mother that you can actually follow your dreams and you can actually implement these ideas and become more. And through that that process, my mom seeing me become this success that she sees in her eyes, she started doing some things outside of her normal life. So, you know, just her making that signature on that contract actually helped her as well. But
that is huge, Bob. I didn't know that part of your story. That is really cool.
Yeah, the letter of irrevocable commitment, it's not saying I commit to this process or I commit to this program. It's I commit to me, and now I have a witness holding me accountable for it too. And that's the person that's going to be there to give me the kick in the ass when I need it. You know, personal development and business growth, a lot of people see it as a spiritual thing. It is. And spirituality can give you a swift kick in the butt if you're able to allow it to. And you always need that person in your life to hold you accountable. Like, my big influence in my life is my wife. She gets on my case all the time about doing what I'm supposed to be doing. And if she wasn't there doing that, I probably wouldn't do half the things that I do, to tell you honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Because she gives me the kick in the butt, you know.
Bill does the same for me. We've been together for 19 years, and I can't imagine doing those kinds of things without him because I just flat out wouldn't do it.
Right, and, you know, in the end of it, it's okay to say that, you know, I do some of these things for recognition. If that's what you want, if you're looking for peace of mind through recognition, it doesn't matter if other people like you or love what you do or any of these things. But what does matter is if you feel that you need recognition in somebody else's eyes to help you succeed more, what can you do to gain that recognition? If it's becoming successful or straightening out your life, then do it. As a result, they will see that, so you don't have to prove anything to them. Just do what you're supposed to do with your life. As a result, they'll see it, and they'll give you that recognition that you're looking for.
So, well, that's pretty big, because for a lot of people, it's tough to admit that you're doing something to be recognized.
Right, right. And the only person you have to admit it to is yourself. When you lie about why you're doing certain things, you're only lying to you. It doesn't matter what you tell anybody else. If you're true to yourself of why you're doing something, if it's to make a bunch of money, fine. Then why? Why do you want to make a bunch of money? If you can define that why to yourself and live true to that why, you will create in your life what it is you deserve and desire to create. But if you're not true to you, there's nobody else that's going to be true to you. So you may as well do it for yourself, right?
Exactly. So that's kind of another step in this process of, you know, starting out by recognizing yourself as the expert, starting out by recognizing that you are creating value, accepting that exchange of value, and recognizing your why is kind of another step, would you say?
Yeah, it is. It is. And it's the why. I mean, like Leslie taught me a while back, be a little kid when you're asking why, and I've always been like that. You know, I have a 3-year-old daughter. She asks me why at least 50 or 60,000 times a day, right? But
she's a cutie, too.
Oh, yeah, yes, definitely. But, you know, there's a reason why think about a little kid. Why do they ask why so much? It's because they have no point of reference. to anything else outside their environment. If you tell them about something like the sun shines bright in the middle of summer and the sky's blue and there's a few little clouds, she wants to know why. Why isn't it like that in the middle of wintertime when it's snowing? And you have to explain those things, but on the level that she can understand. So when you're coming up with your whys, do it literally on the level of, say, a 10-year-old child. Remember when you were 10 years old, ask them that question, why? How do people explain things to you? How do they simplify things so you can solidify that belief? So when you're asking why for yourself, take it down to the fundamental truths. Why do we do the things we want to do to create this big business or this money or this financial wealth? What is it? Why is the big why? Because we want that life experience that we wouldn't mind living every single day without getting sick and tired of it. So your big why is usually a new life experience. You want to experience new things in your life every single day. So what are those experiences? Get defined about those things. Who do you want to spend those experiences with? What do you want to do every single day? What is it going to look like when you wake up in the morning and when you go to bed at night? Get really defined. And when you define that why, you'll actually start seeing a path that you can take to create those things.
And I usually have my students start out with that outcome 3 to 5 years from now. So where do you want to be 3 to 5 years from now? And then what does that look like? So you're constantly asking why and how. And so that path magically creates itself. And all you've got to do is follow it one baby step at a time, and you're right at that end destination every single time.
Right, and I do an exercise with my students called mini visions, because a lot of times we focus on this great big giant vision, but we don't focus on the intricate little visions that come before that, that build up that bigger vision. And I always say, and a lot of people do this assignment, are you still there, Gina? Because I think I might have lost you.
I'm still here.
Okay, all right, cool. But basically, it's, you know, what would you like to, what outcome are you looking for in the next 30 days, the next 6 months, the next year and a half? And those mini visions are going to change. As you reach that 30-day mark, you're going to have a new 30-day mark. As you reach that 6-month mark, you're going to reach a new 6-month mark. And by doing this, what happens is you know as you grow. People say, well, I don't know, you know, exactly what this is going to entail in a year. Well, that's okay, because when you grow through those little vision points of 30 days, 6 months, a year, you'll have the information in place. You'll get there. So don't worry about the how-tos right now. You'll find those out when you get there. But as you're growing through those visions, it will set the context. When you figure out that 3 to 5 year goal or that 1 year goal, that will set the context of everything you need to do in your 30 days and your 6 month visions. So you have this series of mini visions that will build you and grow you to that bigger vision. And before you know it, sometimes you reach that 3 to 5 year goal within a year or two, just because you had it systematically laid out in these small little baby steps.
Very, 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 very true. Jennifer, as you're sitting here listening to Bob, what questions come to your mind?
Oh, gosh. Mostly, Gina, I'm sitting here being delighted hearing what he's talking about, everything. I just have to spotlight what he said. It reminded me of the whole, you know, don't shrink. There's nothing enlightened about shrinking so that others don't feel insecure around you. That's from Marianne Williamson, but you made that point, Bob, and that's been a newish thing for me to learn. And then you talked about, you know, just let yourself shine. If you want to be famous, be famous. If you want to be wealthy, be wealthy. Just recognize that it's okay. Let your light shine and be who you want to be, and then go after it. And I'm just fascinated by the conversation behind it. I think I know so some of the challenges for me and other people I've spoken with about how to create and have these beliefs of these things you want in your life, that in itself can sometimes be a challenge. Because let's say, you know, I want to be wealthy, or I want to be, you know, a great this, or I want to have that, as I think it was Laura Langemeyer in The Secret, she's talking about this, saying, you know, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, and then your mind kind of says, oh, you liar, you're not rich.
Right.
So there's somewhere in there you have to make that leap between this is what I want, but this is where I am in my belief system. How do I make that leap? And I think for me, and I'm still evolving in this process, Bob, but I think it's a gradual process, but I would love to hear how you get across that void, or what you teach your students to do to get across that void from, you know, from somebody who's sitting here saying, gosh, I'm poor as anything, I want to be wealthy, for example, or I want to be, you know, a great business owner of some kind or other, But I feel so far from it. And when I say I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, I'm wealthy, the other side of me is saying you're such a liar. How do you
right.
make that leap?
Well, first you have to define what wealth is to you right now. If you're like where I was on welfare and I could barely walk, but I felt like the wealthiest person in the world because I had my family and I had a healthy wife. We had a healthy baby. I managed to hunt for our food and grow our food so we weren't starving. I heated our house on wood-burning heat. We felt like the wealthiest people in the world, and there was people that made way more money than we had that were struggling every single day in their own misery, basically. So I think first you have to say, well, with the resources that I have right now, what are the things that make me wealthier than some other people? Is it love? Is it the relationships that I have? Is it the hobbies that I do that make me feel really empowered and really good about myself? There's different levels of wealth, and wealth doesn't, it's not just about money. Wealth, money's just a part. Physical
right.
manifestation.
Absolutely.
Yeah, physical wealth is just a part of the whole thing. So what can you do in the different areas of your life? Balance, relationships, love, career, job, money, health. What can you do in those different areas of your life to start creating this life of wealth within? You can only create wealth without in the physical world if you've created it within first. And to be able to start creating that manifestation of physical wealth, you got to take action. That's a big word. If you're not taking small little action steps, I think what happens a lot of times, people say, well, I want to make $1 million. Okay, well, have you ever made $1 million before? No, I usually only make about $1,000 a month. Okay, so why don't we shoot for $1,500 a month? Because now you have a point of reference that you can understand, you can relate to, and say, yes, I am capable of doing this. So when we start realizing these different areas of increasing wealth in different parts of our lives, can you make realistic growth jumps, growth leaps? Like, okay, I weigh 200 pounds. I want to weigh 145 pounds. Well, that might seem kind of tough. So what if I lost 5 pounds within the next 3 weeks? How about that? So every time you make one of your goals, make it realistic so you have a point of reference. You can say, yeah, you know what? I am capable of doing that. And every time you make one of those growth leaps, increase it just a little bit by
4%. And celebrate it. And
right, exactly.
It.
Reward yourself. And let
the
world know about it.
It's not the 45 or 55 pounds, but it's the 5 pounds. Say, hey, you go, girl. Absolutely.
Yeah, you
step
say,
along
hey,
the way.
Damn, I don't eat candy bars anymore. I'm doing good. Not only did I drop 5 pounds, but now I'm saving my teeth. I'm not getting as much, you know, unnatural sugars in my body, and I'm eating healthier.
Yeah.
So I managed to increase one part of my, you know, areas of life balance. Maybe my relationship with my spouse isn't so good. Well, what could I do to increase upon that? It's not buying her a bunch of things and things. Maybe it's just spending a little bit more time with her or having a conversation. Why don't I make it a regular point every week to sit down and just have conversation time with my spouse?
I just unmuted Carrie because Carrie is one of my students also, and one of my most prized possessions is my goal-setting journals that I have since I was in the third grade, and they're all stored at my parents' house. They are some of my most prized possessions. And Carrie took what you're saying right now to heart when I first shared this with my students in her group. And she really created a goals journal for herself that she could value. So that at each small goal, even if it's as small as writing one article, whatever that one goal is, she gives herself a gold star just like I have all my life. And it becomes a process of getting more gold stars. The more gold stars you get, the more abundant you feel because you've got all these gold stars.
Right.
And you're creating that series of steps that you're talking about, that progression, where each small step brings you one step closer to that bigger end result. But it's easier to break it into those small baby bite-sized chunks that aren't so drastically overwhelming, like going from $1,000 a month to $1 million. That's huge.
Right.
Don't expect it. It's not going to happen that way.
Sure.
But to go from 1,000 to 1,500 in a month, that's very doable.
Mm-hmm.
And Carrie, I think you've had a really, really good outcome just from having done that. What has really helped you along that way, Carrie?
Well, I'm loving this radio show. It's just great. I wanted to say that when I got that goals journal and I got the leather-bound goals journal because I was when Gina is teaching this, I was sharing with her that my goals, you know, my list of things to do anyway, I would scribble out each thing as I did it, like, you know, eliminating it as opposed to celebrating it. And so that she really had a real about face for me when I started doing that. And then I realized that, you know, by going through some of these old beat-up journals in the closet that didn't have things, you know, the things that weren't scratched out yet. And even then, I noticed that I had already accomplished so much of it, probably not the way I had intended when I wrote the goal down, but in a roundabout way I had. Like you were saying, like, I really am rich because I have, I'm able to make my kids my priority, and I have so much time with them. And there's peace. You know, there's not constant strife every day, just little things that are everything. And I realized that, oh, cash is the only thing missing. And it's that goals journal that really helped me to see that. And then, like you say, breaking it down, you know, into there's so many steps between here and making the income that I want to make. But just celebrating each one and reminding myself of all that I have accomplished so I don't beat myself up for not accomplishing more, which is a lifelong habit I'm trying to break.
Right.
So that goals journal was a real catalyst for me.
Yeah, and, you know, I'm sure your goals journal wasn't just some little wire-bound notebook, right? It's something special. It feels special when you hold it in your hand. It's probably hard-bound,
yep.
Right? And
yep.
It's just those little things. Like, I can say I honestly probably have 200 wire-bound notebooks, you know, floating around with strategies and goals in them. But it's my hardback, it's my hard-bound notebooks that are the most important. I take the time not to screw up when I write in those. I really pay attention to what I write down. And it's, you know, an extra $5 or $10 or even $80 for a leather-bound, you know, book can make the biggest difference when you're writing those goals. But at the same time, it's like you were saying, you notice these little things, little tiny little things that you do that just make you feel like you have this huge experience. It's the greatest thing in the world. What I tell people to do when you reach one of those goals, one of those, I call them landmarks, like a 30-day landmark, go back, take your notebook, sit down, and read backwards in that book and see how that progressed and duplicate that process towards your next 30-day mark. And you actually start living successful strategies all the time. It starts to become second nature for you to draw these maps to your next landmark, basically.
And that's why my journals, all of my goals journals, are my most prized possessions. It's really a roadmap to how I have achieved every single thing in my entire life. And when you look back at them in reverse order like that, you will see so many things that you have achieved. I couldn't even count how many things I have achieved in my lifetime. Some big,
right.
Some small. But they're all right there. There's a roadmap that I can duplicate anytime I want. And that's the greatest part about it, is you can duplicate it over and over and over again just by having that map that you can follow.
Right. And, you know, am I still on with you, Gina?
You are, Bob.
Okay, it said I was off the host queue, so I wasn't sure.
It broke up for a second, but we did get you in there.
Yeah, but, you know, a lot of people say, well, what does all this, you know, personal growth and everything have to do with business? But if you look at it, business development is personal development. It shares the same stages. It shares the same steps. It shares the same strategies. It's just your focus is with a different intention. Growing a business to create value in order for you to create value for yourself. It's the same exact thing. Business is personal development. So when you start looking at it in that context, it actually makes it a bit easier for you to do things because you're using these natural emotions and translating it into business development, which I think is a lot easier than seeing it as a technical schematic. You know?
And the weird part about it is you cannot do this for your business until you have done it for yourself.
That's it.
Just doesn't work. You can try all day long, but without doing it for yourself first, you're not going to get anywhere in the business.
Yeah, and, you know, people tend to work backwards a little bit. When they start focusing on an entrepreneurial business, they put all their focus. The term laser beam focus annoys me to no end, where they say they put all their focus and pinpoint it into this business. I'm just going to work 20 hours a day and get this thing going because the more time I put in, the more I'm going to get results. And they neglect other areas of their life. they neglect their personal relationships, their health, and all these other different things, and they wonder why their business is starting to strive, but their life is falling apart. You can take pieces of focus away from other areas of your life, but you always have to put some percentage of focus on every area of your life simultaneously. It's just, if your love and relationships are doing phenomenally well, and you got 80% of your focus on that, then take about 20% away from that and put it onto another area of your life that needs more focus. But you can never neglect any one area of your life. It's just impossible to do if you want to be completely 100% successful.
Very, very, very true. And it's all about, you don't have two different parts to you. You don't have the personal you and the business you. It's all a part of that same being, just like we mentioned earlier about the beliefs that you have activated within you. If you don't address them, you're leaving a part of yourself out. Same is true with the business you. The business you and the personal you are part of the same you, and you've got to look at all of it as one whole and address it all.
That's it.
So
That's it.
What else is attributing, what else would you attribute to your success? What else do you think of when you look back and say, okay, how did I get from there to here?
The people that were involved, honestly, not just the people that were teaching me, but the students I was teaching at the same exact time, their connection, their emotional connection to me and their trust in me, I think had a lot to do with it. I feel that when you hold yourself responsible for what other people are about to achieve, it really makes you strive harder to make things better. And like, you know, I said, you know, when I brought my wife home from the hospital the day our first daughter came home, I went to great lengths to make sure this house was very warm and safe and comfortable for them to be in, because it wasn't in very good shape. The heating wasn't that great or anything. And I realized that my commitment to somebody else really allowed me to do more with me, because, like I said before, we have this thing in us that the commitments we make to other people stand out from the commitments that we do for ourselves. So how can you create these different levels of responsibility to other people within your business to become more successful? And that's where I see things like my virtual assistant. Her business was floundering when she first met me. She was a student of mine, and I said, well, how can I make her business better in order to make my business better at the same time? And I started referring clients to her. Now, easily I could have done that work for those clients, but I said, if I help her become more successful, there's a good chance that the results that she gives me will be better. And it was true. It worked out to my benefit in my business. But my intention, and that's the key element, the intention was to help her, not what's in it for me, but what can I do to help her become more? Because I knew just as a result, my business would become more. So the people that you hold yourself accountable for and the intention that you put out there when you're creating value for these other people is a key element to anybody's success.
Well, Jennifer and I last week talked about the book, The Go-Giver. And that's a great book. If you haven't read it, it's a wonderful book. But it's the way that I grew my business as a JV broker. It's also in the book, The Go-Giver, and that is you first start by asking how you can be of service to others. Not because you intentionally want something back in return, but just because you're there to serve. And in serving, you do get paid back many times over, but you can't have that expectation from the start where it completely changes the relationship.
That's it. The intention that you connect to anything that you do is going to weigh heavily on the results that you get in return. I have another mentor and friend. He used to be a co-host of my radio show, Steve D'Annunzio. He's mentored some of the biggest, powerful stockbrokers and NFL football players in the world. And every time he answers the phone, he could know it's you, he could not know it's you, but every time he answers the phone, it could be a telemarketer, he says, how can I be of service today? Every single time, and he means it. He's very true to that. He told me a story of a gardener that he had, and the gardener was, you know, at wit's end making his business work. And Steve said, I'd like to give you my book, but I want you to say that you're actually going to implement this and leverage this as something that's value to you. And the guy agreed to it, and he came back 3 weeks later and handed Steve the $26 for his book. And Steve said, well, you don't have to do that. And he said, if I learned anything from you, Steve, if you don't accept this, you're cheating me in the energy exchange here. what Steve's intention was. He had no outside vested interest in helping this guy make his life better, just for the mere fact of helping this man make his life better. But as a result, that held true to Steve's intentions and his business of helping to create value for more people on a larger scale, because he knows that man will take that information and transmit it to other people out there. So indirectly, Steve's always helping other people that he's never met. So
it's true viral marketing at its best, Bob.
Isn't it? It's funny how we have all these different terms, and we think they're so different in from one industry to the next, but they're all the same exact thing. We call it viral marketing. Other people say it's value creation or indirect sales, whatever it may be. We have all these different terms, but it all comes down to this viral exchange of value, where you are indirectly helping thousands of people that you've never met before, and it's because of one thing that you did. Maybe you wrote a book with the intention to help people. It's amazing how those things work to me.
Absolutely. And you know, my mission in life has very much changed since I've been through my transformation. And today, my students hear it to death, but my mission is to help 1 million people learn to live the life of their dreams by building a business that uses the power of the internet. And for me, that mission has three separate parts. It is more about learning to live the life of your dreams than anything else. The vehicle through which you do that is a business, and that can be on or offline. It simply needs to harness the power of the internet for what it is available for.
Right.
And I'm sure you have a mission today, too, having lived through all that you've lived through. What is your mission today, Bob?
It's honestly to get people to understand what it's like, the experience of living your passion and your purpose. If you don't have a sole purpose in life to achieve a certain level of something, you're cheating yourself. And if you're not passionately connected to that purpose, you're cheating yourself. I have a lot of students that are in internet marketing as well, and they say, you know, I found a really cool niche. It's about, you know, high-definition televisions, but I'm not really passionate about those televisions, Bob. And I say, okay, well, what's your favorite cause or charity? And they tell me, and they can talk about that for hours, right? I say, well, why don't you create this niche business to help grow that cause or charity, to help grow the resources you can give them? Can you get passionate about that? And they're like, yeah, absolutely. So it's understanding how to connect your passion and your purpose to all these different things that we do in our businesses. And at the same time, don't try to be an expert at everything. Find the people that are the experts at doing things and allow them to do some of that work for you. So you don't.
And there's nothing wrong with being the expert at knowing who to go to.
That's it. That's
amen to that.
Yeah, I say that all the time. I don't want to be the expert webmaster, the expert blogger, any of those things. I really just don't desire that. What I do want to be the expert at is communicating my thoughts to other people. That's something that I'm very passionate about, being able to take those pictures in my mind and putting it out there for other people to comprehend and implement themselves. So it's, you always have to figure out, how can I connect my passion and purpose to what I'm doing right now? Although I may not be passionate about what I'm doing, how can I connect the two together? And when you figure that one out, it can create a world of good for yourself, really.
Absolutely. And in living your passion and purpose, so many people come to the internet and they hear these SEO guys and they say, okay, I got to go out and do some keyword research and I'm going to find these great keywords and I'm going to put my website up about it. Well, that doesn't do a lot of good, even if your passion and purpose is creating money for yourself.
Right.
Because you're going off in this area that you may not have any interest in, and I know I see that all the time. What really strikes me about living your passion and your purpose is when you really are true to the things that you are passionate about, the money follows every time, doesn't it?
That's it. That's it, absolutely. Money's a result. That's all it is. It's just a result of the things that you do. And you had asked me a couple hours ago, we were talking on the phone, what is the biggest selling point for one of my programs? And I said, me. It's me. It's a relationship. It's the connection. It's the heart level that I talk on. It's my life experiences. I'm the biggest selling point of what I do. People don't buy my products. They buy me. They buy my.
And I was grinning ear to ear when you gave me that answer, Bob.
Yeah, it's you know, that's what we have to understand as entrepreneurs in general. Entrepreneurialism is about being this focus for people, something they can put a spotlight on and say, I have a connection to this person, and this person is willing to give me their time or their experience in order for me to translate that into new time and experience for myself. So when you're selling or not selling, I always say don't sell. Just put your stuff out there on a heart level. Let people see who you are, build a relationship with them, and the money follows when you do that. But you got to be honest about it. I talk a lot about people in the personal development industry because I'm in it, and I do a lot of marketing for those people because they don't know how to market, and they don't want to know how to market. And they ask me, what's the big selling point for what they do? I said, be 100% honest and actually admit to the things you screwed up on. If you can admit to your faults, that makes the biggest difference in the world to people. It really does.
And this part is true regardless of what niche you're in. You don't have to be in personal development in order for you to be the focus of it. You don't have to be in internet marketing or business building. You need to be in whatever it is that is your purpose and your passion. If that's Carrie, who's in heartfailuresolutions.com, she helps both caregivers and patients with congestive heart failure. Jennifer helps empowerwomeninbusiness.com with empowering women in business. I have other students who are in a myriad of different niches,
right.
But that one core piece about being true to themselves never changes. And it's really go out and serve to the best of your ability about the topic you are most passionate about. Right. And when you are serving and you're doing a good job of it, people will flock to you and the right people will be attracted to you time and time again.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, when I was first going through the whole growth on the internet business side of things, I was on welfare, and people were asking me to train them how to do internet marketing, and you think to yourself, you know, what does this guy on welfare know that I don't know, right? But what they were seeing was I'd speak with them every single week for free. I'd just come to a conference room and tell them about certain experiences or things that I did, and I showed an excitement and a passion about the results I was getting from certain things I was doing. And nobody ever said, you know, well, this guy's on welfare, what can I learn from him? What they were seeing was, wow, this guy's growing, and he's actually sharing all this stuff with us. I need to be more connected to him. Because they saw I'm on a different level than them. They had jobs and successful businesses and things. But here's this dude on welfare doing all this stuff that I can't even comprehend right now. What is he doing differently? And it was because I revealed myself to those people that they connected to me. I didn't hide anything from them. And I think when you get to that point, I'm not saying go out and tell everybody that you're on welfare and things like that. What I'm saying is don't hide yourself. Be who you are. Don't be afraid of the things that you say openly. The people that you want to connect with, that you will resonate with you. They will be attracted to you. I think a lot of times in any business that we're in, we attract a lot of people that we wouldn't normally hang out with on a regular basis. Put yourself out there so people know who you are, they can connect to you, and you will attract the people to you that you want to attract.
Funny story about something that happened to me earlier today really applies. I had a woman call me this morning who had a challenging time finding my phone number, which is odd because my phone number is probably in more than 10,000 places on the internet today.
Right.
People don't have a hard time finding me. She was calling me because she wanted a refund of something she bought that was $14.95. She wanted a refund because of the fact that she found it challenging to navigate the inside of the members area and find the materials. I gladly gave her her refund because that's my policy. If she's going to take the time to call, I'll give her what she wants.
Right.
At the same time, I actually talked to her about why she was in the membership in the first place. What was it that she was trying to achieve? Went and looked at her website, gave her a few suggestions. Yeah, I was 5 minutes late getting to my 11 o'clock call, but I was here serving this woman, even though I was giving her a refund. By the end of that 12 or 13-minute call, you know, this woman not only went back and said, well, hold on a second, I don't know that I really want this refund. I said, too late, you already got it. She went back into the members area, went and got the materials, and she says, you know, I'm going to give this another try. Now I've had a chance to talk to you. This really makes a lot of sense to me. I'm going to give you that $14.95 back at some point. And what I expect is going to happen is what happens with so many other people who contact me for one reason or another. They didn't get a download or they wanted a refund. They end up becoming lifelong customers simply because I took the time to actually connect with them. I responded to an email. I answered a telephone call, whatever the case might be. If you're really putting yourself out there in a very genuine way to be of service to people, you will have lower refunds. You will have more sales. You will have more word of mouth traffic happening. It's what happens when you're doing these things. That's the outcome or the end result.
Right.
It's not that you set out to do that intentionally. It's just that that's the outcome.
Right, exactly. And you know, at the same time, you know, I think people worry about the wrong things in business, like the whole refund thing. What if a bunch of people ask for a refund? Okay, who cares? They ask for a refund. What you should be thinking about is why.
That was exactly what I was thinking about. Every question I answered was related to, well, why? This is so unusual.
Absolutely. And I think a lot of times, you know, as business owners, we're supposed to focus on certain things, like getting new customers or communicating with the customers we already have. And I call them clients all the time. All my customers are clients because I plan on building a strong relationship with those people. But a lot of times I think what happens is people say, well, you know, I get this list of 10,000, you know, subscribers. No, you don't. You have 10,000 people that are looking to you for value, for advice. What can you give those 10,000 people? Put a face on those people instead of just seeing them as numbers on a list. Like a lot of people explode when their Twitter account goes to 10,000, you know, followers. You don't have 10,000 followers. You have 10,000 people that, for whatever reason, were interested in what you had to say. Ask them what they were interested in. Find out what it is that they like and they don't like about you or your business. Those things, when you build that kind of relationship, you'll start seeing less refunds and start seeing more profit, and you'll actually start getting to know your market a little bit better as well.
And the word of mouth traffic that happens by doing that is huge.
Right.
It's almost always bigger than any traffic you could intentionally go out and get.
Oh, I can honestly say every student that I have, private students that I have, was from referrals, every single one. Even the very first student I ever had was from a referral. And it's because of that relationship that you build with people. I think too many people get so focused on that headstrong, you know, I'm just going to sell and sell and sell and make a ton of money. Gina, I used to train telemarketing teams. I even taught them to build relationships and educate people before they sold anything. And
absolutely.
Their sales increased by 87%, and not once did they have to close a sale. It's this putting yourself out there, literally, you're right on your own sleeve. It's like, here I am. I'm not hiding anything from you. This is who I am, and if you need to communicate with me, here's my number. Here's my email. Don't give them some customer support email. Let them talk to you. It's only you that's going to be passionate about what you do enough to relay that to the other people, to your customers.
Yeah, and here's what happens. Industry average on conversions is about 2%, right, Bob?
Right.
When you're doing this, not only do you get more people coming and looking for you, but the conversions go up. It's not a 2% conversion that you end up getting. It's usually more like a 5 to 10% conversion, even though you're getting more people. And that's true exponential growth. Here's how I look at it. If you had 500 people a day coming to a website, and those 500 people a day were converting at 2% on a $25 sale, the end of the month, you'd have $7,500.
Right.
If you take those same 500 people per day, and they're still buying something that makes you $25, but instead of 2%, you convert 5%. Now you're making over $18,700 a month. That extra $11,000-some-odd is just the additional conversions.
Right.
And that's what happens when you're really out there focusing not on selling, but on serving.
Right.
I don't care if you're an online business owner or an offline business owner. You've got to be selling in a way that is truly serving your audience best.
That's it. Sales
will only happen because it is serving them better.
You know, I took an approach to that not too long ago with a sales page that was only converting at 1%. And in a day, I got it up to 12.6%.
Holy cow.
Yeah, tell me about it. I was surprised too. But what I did was I added a lesson to that sales page. So no matter if that person purchased or not, they learned something of value that they can immediately implement right now to start seeing results with it.
Oh, nice.
Right. So I thought to myself, you know, I'm an educator. I'm a teacher by trade. So how can I use education in my sales process to help people make a decision? But not only help them make a decision, but find the resources that they need to actually purchase my product. How about I do that? And when I did that, conversions went way up. But, you know, we focus on those things as business people. Opt-in page, I have 65%. Open rate on emails is 87%. Click-through rate is 64%. And sales conversions on that page is 12.6%. What I see with that, those conversion rates, I relate that to what kind of education am I giving those people. As salespeople, our job is to educate people so they can make an educated decision whether or not to make a purchase with you. If they decide not to make that purchase, guess what? It may be because it just didn't resonate with them. Maybe
right.
It's not right for them. That's okay. But as long as you're consistently building that relationship through all the marketing things that you do, emails, whatever it may be, you will find that if those people don't purchase, later on they're going to purchase from you, and or they're going to send other people to you that are going to purchase from you. That's the thing.
They're still going to send other people as long as you're doing your job and educating them. My sales pages are the same exact way, Bob. I have people that come to two of my sales pages over and over and over again. I probably have one of the few sales letters out there that actually have people coming back more than one time just to reread it because they really do educate people.
Right.
And they will send other people just to get the education. But guess what? A good chunk of those people buy. More than 12% of them buy all the time.
Yeah.
And they have for years.
Look at some of the greatest in history, like Dale Carnegie, okay? You know him because of his books, right? You know,
right.
How to win friends and influence people and all these things. But that was a savvy businessman. But most people know him because of the education that he put out there. So if you really want to create a viral stream of people coming to you, put quality education out there that will truly help people. Education is the best selling technique that you could possibly use. It really is.
And that's why in my mission I say using the power of the Internet. The Internet is the information superhighway. People don't come to the Internet to buy stuff. They come to the Internet to get information.
Yes.
Will they buy stuff? Absolutely. But they're really there for the information first. They'll only buy stuff if it helps them get further in terms of the information they were looking for. So maybe that means a bigger result or a better result or a faster result. But that's why they buy. So regardless of whether you're selling golf clubs, bathing suits, or email courses, whatever the case might be, use it as an opportunity to first educate people. If it's bathing suits, show them how to buy the right bathing suit if you're tall or short or fat or skinny. If it's golf clubs, how do you cut two strokes off your game? Whatever your topic of interest happens to be, wherever your passion is out at, that's what you want to be educating people about.
Right. And, you know, the big hot buttons on the Internet today, things like YouTube, Twitter, email marketing, blogs, all these different things. YouTube is a place where people go for information and entertainment. Twitter is a place people go to socialize. It's a party. That's exactly what it is. Blogs, it's kind of like they came over for dinner and they're meeting you and they're getting more information about you and what you do. Your newsletter is them saying, you know what, I know people end up selling me through these things, but I'm okay with that because I've partied with this guy, I've been entertained with this guy, he brought me to his home and told me more about himself and his family, so now I'm willing to take that next step to be part of what he's part of. And
oh, that's such a great way to describe it.
Right, and, you know, Internet marketing is literally a community of people holding themselves accountable for one another's success by giving information, teaching things. The reason most big gurus are successful is because they educated first and they allowed the customer to make the decision to purchase. So when you're putting different information in different places like YouTube and things, understand what those places are for. and make sure that your information is connecting to that purpose, whether it be for entertainment or education or socializing. If those places aren't about selling, then you shouldn't be about selling at those places. You should be about entertaining and educating and socializing. When people make the decision to be part of what you're part of, they will sign up on your newsletter list. They will sign up on your email subscription database. That's when you can start saying, hey, by the way, I also work with this stuff, or I think this will be good for you. And because you built that relationship with them, they're going to take you on your word. Just make sure you hold true to that word. You're providing them with valuable services.
And I do the same thing through blogs that I do through my newsletter. In fact, emails that I send out through my newsletter are all on my blog.
Right.
So, you know, you can use some of them in multiple ways. The thing of it is, I have a rule, and that is, I don't just send out a promotional email that's full of hype, selling people hard. I think I've done that maybe 3 times in the last 2 years. And the only reason I did it on those 3 occasions was because it was serving my audience better.
Right.
If you're going out doing the selling, it's got to be done in a way that it is serving them better.
Right.
Otherwise, it's still serving.
I use an example a lot. I sent an email to my subscribers. I saw the funniest video in the world on YouTube of this guy that halted at a stop sign real quick in his car, and there was an old lady standing in the middle of the street sleeping. She fell asleep standing up, and all these kids are skateboarding. It was just this little impromptu video, spur of the moment type thing. And he was beeping his horn and revving his engine, and this lady hit the front of his car with her purse, and it made his airbag go off. And everybody in the video was laughing intensely, and I was cracking up. I had to watch that video like 4 times, and I still laugh when I see it. So I put that YouTube video on my blog and sent a message to my subscribers saying, you guys got to see this. This is probably the funniest video I've ever seen. And they went to it. No selling intended, nothing. Well, because of that one email I sent, 64 people purchased something they saw on my blog after they had watched that video.
Well, you know what my number one best-selling page is on my blog, Bob?
What's that?
It's a page that I call the What's Gina Up To page. If you go to askggg.com/Where's Gina, you'll see it. At the top, there's a little map where you can go and see exactly where I'm at. You can even use a satellite to scroll down and zoom in and see everything that's around me. Right now, I'm in the motorhome, guys. It's not very exciting.
Right.
And then below that, it's my friend feed. It summarizes what I've got on my blog and what I've got in Twitter and what I've got in Flickr and what I've got in Facebook and all the other social networks I'm a part of. That's all. It's
right.
Just what's Gina up to. There are more sales that occur from that page than any other page that I own.
Yeah, I always say, who are you marketing to? People like you. So what do people talk about? They talk about their everyday stuff. They talk about the movie they saw, about something funny they saw. You know, people love to laugh. They love to talk about themselves. So, you know, put yourself out there. That will do worlds of good for your marketing. I think people that just market their product or service and things about their product and service make probably at least 80% less sales than the people that talk about themselves and their life experiences and the things that they're doing right now. When I see somebody on Twitter saying, you know, going to this restaurant to have steak, I'm like, hey, tell me how it is. And they send me a message back to say, well, give me a minute. I'll tell you. I'm eating it right now. You know, I'll be more into that conversation than the guy saying, hey, find out how to get 19,000 followers on Twitter, right?
Exactly.
It's about that experience and the things that you're doing and who you are that people really connect to. Your business is something they will find out about, trust me, because they enjoy your company. It's like if you invite somebody to your house the first time for dinner. They say, you know, so, hey, Gina, what do you do for a living? Oh, well, I show people how to do internet marketing. So what do you do? And they ask more questions to you about your business, but you're like, no, really, what do? You want to know more. And because they're asking all these questions and you're giving them information, you're asking them questions, showing interest in them, they show up at your business one day, right? If you're selling a car, maybe they don't need a new car, but they say, you know, I met this guy Bill at this party the other day, and he sells cars at this car lot down the street. I went to his house for dinner and everything. Nice guy. Go down there and check out a van there or something that you want to get. It's those relationship-building aspects, the things we do in socializing that will actually help you get more sales indirectly.
I tell this little story about this fictitious guy named Joe all the time because he applies in so many different ways. that true viral marketing, that word of mouth marketing, happens not because Joe is intentionally going out and telling people about you and what you do. He's not out there using an affiliate link even. He's just out there talking about how awful his day was and how horrible, you know, the situation was, and people are worried about him. And as he's solving his problems through your stuff, other people are asking him, Joe, how did you solve that problem? And he says, well, you wouldn't believe this thing I found on the internet. And he repeats your domain name over and over and over again. And he's doing it not to tell people about you, but just because people are interested in him.
Right, right. Yeah, people are interested in you as a person and the solutions that you have found to make your life better, whatever, you know, that part of your life may be. So if you're the person that's out there constantly sharing yourself, building the relationship, and providing solutions to other people, you'll be fine. You'll be really good in what you're doing. I find too many times people are so focused on the money aspect of things, and they don't realize that it's all these other elements combined that help you bring money as a result.
That's so true. So in working with your students, what do you tell them to do first?
Get efficient, get organized. The first thing I'd go through is helping them dump all the garbage that they have on their computers. And the reason I do that is because we have all these distractions. And for every distraction that you have during the day, it takes at least 20 minutes to get refocused. And it's focus and willpower that are probably the most powerful forms of energy that you have in your business. So I get them organized first, not just, you know, on the internet stuff, but in their lives, you know, their environment. And then I get them to connect with their core selves, who they are inside and how they relay that to other people. That's where I start with everybody, because I think those are two probably toughest things that we procrastinate about the most, really figuring out who we are and why we do the things we do and why we're so damn unorganized all the time. And when you clean those things up and realize this is a constant thing that you do, it's not just a one-time thing, when you can get that straight and get good at that, everything else just kind of falls into place. And that's about, you know, building those marketing platforms or building that business foundation first. I don't expect anybody to start with a marketing campaign. I expect them to start with themselves and building the foundation of what they'd like to create. And I think that's the most important place to start.
It's funny, my students are probably laughing as they're hearing you say that, because I start them in the same place, doing things like getting your icons off your desktop, right?
Right. Yeah, get rid of them. If you can't seem to part with those thousands of dollars of e-books that you created, at least put them onto a disk and put them away so they're not in front of you all the time, right? Make your computer healthy before you make your business healthy. That's what I'm
saying. And I think I heard Jennifer start to say something. Or was that Carrie?
No, it was Jennifer just chuckling, and absolutely, yep, that's the first thing Gina made us do, clean up a lot of things and clear our space. And I still have a lot of progress to make in that, but I'll tell you, every time I clear a space more, whether it's my computer, my office, or whatever, absolutely everything flows better.
Yeah,
it does, and you can focus.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's something you need to do with every new project that you create. You know, I focus on one project at a time. I'm not one that does multitasking. I think that's the biggest killer of success you can possibly have. But what I do is every time I start a new project, I go through the same process of clearing my space, whether it be my office, my computer, you know, voice messages on my phone, whatever it may be. I start my day by clearing my space because I want to be efficient throughout the day. And I start my day by planning the different conversations and communication I'm going to have. Every time you clear up that space, you get better and better and better at it, and it becomes a really integrated part of your life.
Absolutely. And then where do they go next?
They go into building their foundation, preparation. Before you can possibly build a building, there's got to be a foundation in place. And the foundation is really some basic elements, whether it be, you know, a new hosting account or a domain name or, you know, whatever it may be, a topic of discussion that you want to start creating. There's got to be a foundation for every single thing that you do. And I think a lot of people see all these pieces of their internet businesses or whatever it may be as separate pieces when they're actually just building blocks. And every time you create something new, the foundation's got to be laid, and then you start putting those blocks into place, the basic fundamental building blocks. So, you know, building the foundation and the fundamentals of the business is the next step.
Exactly. Now, let me just make sure that there aren't any questions. If you guys have any questions for Bob, go ahead and either raise your hand or just go ahead and use the text chat, and we will gladly get Bob to answer some of your questions. Jennifer and Carrie, if you guys have any questions for Bob, go ahead and ask them.
Okay, and I just want to reiterate, to raise your hands, you just need to press the 1 on your phone. And
Thank you, Jennifer.
Sure. So, Bob, yeah, I have been, again, going through your stuff and listening to this conversation, and it's funny, while you're two different people, you and Gina have so much in common, including, while what you teach your students overall is perhaps a bit different, the processes and the mindset, you have a lot in common, and so it's a real pleasure listening to the two of you go back and forth. I guess there's so many things that if we had a few hours, I'd love to hear about from you. You talk about, so I saw some of the things on your sites and from some of your emails, you talked about the healing power of unconditional love, and I wanted to ask you about why you put that on there, because I myself, and I think some other people I'm working with, have been talking about this shift, not only in our personal lives, but in business, to start coming from a place of, and it's a little bit of a jump here, but coming from a place of love as opposed to fear and competition in business as well as in our personal lives, in our relationships with our close loved ones as well as our friends, our extended family, on out. So I'm curious about your take and why in everything that you do that you, among other things, focused on this power of unconditional love and what that means.
Well, you know, it's funny because I know my students that are listening to this right now are laughing intensely right now because they always joke that they don't realize I've integrated personal development into my internet marketing training until they've reached a certain level. And they're like, oh, my God, I can't believe he did this to us, right? Unconditional love. First of all, I don't believe that that whole phrase is a true thing, unconditional. I think that you have to be willing to say, I don't love something because of this. There's nothing that's really unconditional, but when you're doing anything in life, look at a lot of people relate things that they do to their personal life, to the people they communicate with, their families, their friends, and if you're willing to put this unconditional emotion on a certain situation in your relationships, in your personal life, why wouldn't you do the same exact thing with the people in the things that you do in your business? Why wouldn't you put that same emotional connection to it? We tend to look at business as a machine, and it's not a machine. It's got a heart. It's got a soul. It's got a connection to other people. And if you're using this medium or this tool, this vehicle to connect with other people, there's got to be that personal, emotional attachment to it. And they have to see it, and they got to feel it. Love isn't just something that you share with one other person that you're married to or with your family. It's an emotional connection, the most powerful emotional connection you can share with anybody. And if you show them that you truly do care about them and you put that intention to everything that you build, you're going to find that you have a powerful connection to anybody you communicate with in your business.
I love your answer. Absolutely.
So there.
It resonates so powerfully with me. And I, again, this is maybe generalizing here, but, you know, so I work with men and women, but with women in particular, one of the biggest discussions we have is how can we be good businesswomen, good saleswomen, or whatever, and still be nice is really what it boils down to, as opposed to being what we used to think we had to be, which was aggressive and mean in order to get ahead in business.
Right.
But finding, and again, this is a recent revelation for me, I know it's not for a lot of people out there, but for and a lot of the women I work with just over this past year or two, finding that, yeah, it's all about serving others, that you can be the good self you think you want to be and really get ahead. And in fact, I'm sure both you and Gina would agree, if we look at the people who've had the biggest impact in this world, including business-wise, most of them, and you brought up Dale Carnegie, they've done so because, among other things, they really were interested and they really cared about and they felt a kind of love, you know, in different ways certainly, but for the people they were serving, for their customers, for their clients, et cetera. So,
right.
I love
you. Exactly. Well, Bob, we've got about 10 minutes left. So, if someone wanted to work with you, or get some of the things that you've got to offer and really learn how to create wealth for themselves, how would they do that?
Well, it's fairly easy. The first thing they have to do is make a commitment to themselves to be able to spend 6 months with me. Okay, but what I did realize through this process, I created a new program, and you know about it, the World Entrepreneur Success Training Program. People had asked me how I created the level of success that I did, and I realized there was a key element that I had that a lot of people don't, and that's having a connection and a relationship with a man, Leslie Figure, who created the Delphin Knowledge System. So I actually asked Leslie if he'd be willing to teach with me, to teach his total wealth mastery, showing people how to create that inner wealth, to create success in their lives and to continue to do that, along with my internet marketing business, to teach people how to do that part of things. So we've come together to teach people for 26 weeks, and what we're going to do at the end of that is actually allow those people a license to teach what we teach, to leverage our educational information, because we're leaving coaching online. We're retiring from that. And so we wanted people to be able to extend this information to other people. And you have a link that helps people do that. But they have to make a commitment to themselves to actually be in that process and to communicate with us. We spend a lot of personal time with people. And it's because we do want to see them create that level of success in their lives, not just in their business, but in their lives in general. So if people are interested in being part of connecting with us and have a need to share that information with other people, this is going to be the way to do it, and that's called the West Program.
And that you can get to at www.theimuniversity.com/West. That's W-E-S-T. Again, that's www.theimuniversity.com/West. W-E-S like Sam, T like Tom.
And I'd like to add something, Gina. Part of the commitment level of being part of the program, and I think people will enjoy this, they got to be willing to be friends with me and Leslie, because we like to hang out with people a lot, and we like to just get together and talk. And we don't coach people to just have students. We coach them to be friends with them, too.
Well, you know, I don't normally tell people that, but that's a really good point, because I do the same with my students. I mean, it's not unusual for me to pick up the phone and call someone and just say, hey, how you doing? Right, Jennifer? Right, Carrie? I mean, I do that with my students as well. I like to hang out with them as well. So I don't think you can effectively mentor someone without going through the process of becoming friends.
Right. And we're the, you know, Leslie and I both, we're the type of guys, we don't sugarcoat really anything at all. We're pretty blunt and straightforward about everything that we do and that we teach. And we even tell people about all the goof-ups that we make or that we have made. And we do that in order to teach them, you know, hey, even the guys that are up on this, you know, pedestal that you like to put everybody on, we're right at eye level with you. We're people. And we goof. We do. And we love the goof-ups that we make because we learn so much from them. But the biggest thing that we're doing is after this whole coaching program that we're doing for the next 6 months, which starts the week of March 12th, it starts during that week, the live mentoring part of it. It's all online. We live mentor. It's interactive, video interactive. We're having a big party down in the Caribbean later on this year that we'd like for all of our students to come to. Leslie lives on the island of St. Vincent in the Grenadines in the Caribbean, and we'd actually like to spend a few days with everybody and party and teach and enjoy each other and have martinis and Heinekens on the beach. That's what we're looking
for. Oh, how cool is that?
That's our purpose for it. We just want to have a great big party in the Caribbean, you know.
Rough life all over. Again, that's www.theimuniversity.com/West, W-E-S-T, theimuniversity.com/West, W-E-S-T. Make sure you get the in there, or you're going to visit Marlon Sanders. So,
yeah, we're only accepting a couple hundred people into the program, and it's just because we want to be able to, you know, be able to communicate with those people personally too. And those 200 people are going to go on, if they want to, they don't have to, and be able to teach what we teach as a business, and they'll have three sources of income from that as well. During the program, they'll learn how to build an entire business themselves, but they can teach it to other people too. That's
fantastic, and I know for so many people that is a challenge for them. well, I can build a business, but then what am I going to do? I don't know enough to do any of this stuff. And that's great that they have the availability of a license that will allow them to teach these same things. When you go through these kinds of programs, you really master them. And it's great to have the right to go on to teach it.
Right. And it's not like people have to remember every single intricate little thing to teach. We provide them with the platform, the educational resources. They basically facilitate the process for other people. And I think when they have that kind of ability, I think you can extend your business reach to, I mean, another level completely. If you're in network marketing, you can teach your team the same thing that you learned and have the material there. And we even provide them with coaching manuals and everything. It's fun. We have a good time. We're about the party more than we're about the profession, I'll tell you that. So people would, you have to know how to have fun to be with us. That's our main criteria.
And after just spending a weekend with them, I can vouch for that.
Oh,
or at
we're
least
party
willing,
animals.
Willing to learn.
Yeah, we are party animals. We love to learn. We love to teach. And we love when our students teach us something, too. We really love that aspect. We always say that we feel we get more out of the process than anybody else does. When you allow a mentor to teach you this level of value, it helps us become more within ourselves, not just the success level, but just within ourselves as people. And we love sharing that with people.
Well, that's what the exchange of value is all about, isn't it? It's an exchange of value.
That's it. That's it. But if anybody has any more questions, I guess now's the time to ask, right?
Exactly. I'm just looking at the control panel. Let's see. How do you rate the show? That's a good question. Jennifer, do you know the answer to that?
How do I rate the show?
No, how do they rate the show? I know in Blog Talk Radio there's a rating system. And I think you just go to askggg.com/radio. And when you get there on the right-hand side underneath the little image for the show, there are some stars. And if you just go over there and select the rating that you want, 1 through 5 stars, it will allow you to then rate today's show. So I would love to have you guys rate the show. That would be fantastic. And I'm really thrilled to have had this opportunity to have Bob on as a guest. I'm trying to talk Bob into doing some other things with me over the next couple of months.
Oh, yeah.
I know I've invited you to be part of my blogging systems workshop in a couple of weeks. I'm looking forward to having you there. Hopefully we can get together and do something for Ken MacArthur's Impact event. That would be fantastic. And I don't know, maybe we can even do a couple more teleconferences or something, because I think the two of us are very in sync in terms of what we teach.
Right, right. I think we'd have a lot of fun, and I'm sure everybody else would benefit from it as well, if they can handle how much fun we're having, right?
That's the thing, right? That is definitely the thing.
I did want to tell people, if they have questions that aren't quite answered on the West Program page, they can email me at thewestprogram@gmail.com. And I'll be more than willing to answer any questions anybody has. Or if you just want to say, hey, how you doing? My name's so-and-so, and I like to party. Email me. All right?
This is definitely a party dude, guys. Definitely a party dude. And I know your wife is expecting. When is she due?
July 30th. Yeah, we're expecting another one. We're going tomorrow for the sonogram, the first sonogram. So we're excited. There's a lot of excitement here. We love having the kids running around and everything.
I hope that the next one is as great as the first one was. Your daughter is just such a sweetheart.
Oh, she has my wife's good looks and my sarcasm, let me tell you.
she was a cutie.
Yeah, she's a lot of fun. For a 3-year-old, she says some things that just astound me every single day, I'll tell you that. But that's what it's all about, right? To be able to, I mean, look, we were down at an event. Most people would have said we were working. What were we doing? Spending time with our family, with friends, having a good time, having fun, right?
Exactly.
That's it.
Well, we've got it at 60 seconds left. Anything to add, Jennifer?
Just to go out there and follow everything, Bob's advice. Again, I resonated so strongly with what you talked about today, and so thank you for being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much, Bob. I really appreciate you being here. Again, the West program, you'll find at www.theimuniversity.com/West, W-E-S-T. And if you want to listen to the recording of this call, you'll also find that at askggg.com/radio. I think there's some definite gold nuggets that people can get out of today's show, and I would encourage people to go and listen to it again, Bob, so that they can really get the process down.
Oh, yeah.
So thanks again for being here.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
And I will talk to you soon. Take care, everybody. See you next week, Tuesday at noon Eastern, here on Relationship Marketing 101. Take care, everybody, and have a great week.